Welcome to Charted Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. We're pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lashier, and the message today is titled, Do You Know What God Does For Us in Baptism?
God's grace to you and peace from our Savior and our Lord Jesus. Amen. 2 weeks ago, it was Pentecost, and we talked about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This week, one more topic that especially relates to the Holy Spirit, baptism. Do you remember the great things that God has done for you in baptism, in those waters? By the Spirit. Is baptism something that God does for us, or is it something that we do for God, as some say? Now let's take a look and see the answer to that question today as we look at the Scriptures, because in baptism, God wants to bring to our minds again, especially this morning, for your courage in life and your confidence in your relationship with Him, what happens in baptism. And what does He say to us about that in His Word, the Bible? So let's take a look and see what He teaches. First of all, I think as we look around, though, at all the churches, especially, the Protestant churches as well, there are a lot of different views or statements of faith or beliefs and perspectives on baptism. And one of those camps says that baptism is basically something that you do for God. Out of obedience to Him. It's keeping God's ordinance or command. It's predominantly what you do for God. It's your work. And not really something that God does for you or God doing anything for you in it. And that camp would say there is no washing of sins in baptism. There is no rebirth in baptism. There is no being united with Christ in baptism because it's really a work that you're doing. And really, all it is you going public with your faith. Publicly out there confessing to the world that you're for Christ and believe in Him, and therefore it's just going public with your faith. It's what you do, not what God does for you. So that's one camp. On the other hand, there are the Lutherans. Yes, those Lutherans. Like us of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And what do we believe about baptism? We believe, teach, and confess. Yes, it is a work that you do in obedience to God's command, but far greater than that, it's a work that God does for you and me in order to do some great things for us in Jesus Christ. What kinds of things? Well, washing away of sins, rebirth, the gifting of the Holy Spirit to you, uniting you with Jesus Christ. That you have not only Christ's cross and everything He won for you at the victory there applied to you personally, but also giving you great confidence and courage in all the trials and tribulations of life, saying, I have been baptized in Christ. So there's the two camps. Which one's right? Which, obviously they don't agree, at least entirely. And so how do we know the truth? How do we know the truth? It's the Bible. It's the only place we're going to find the answer to what baptism really is. We got to look there. For really, who cares what Lutherans believe? Who cares what Pentecostals believe, or Baptists, or, go down the line. Who cares what man says? What we need to know is what God says, because God created baptism. And if He created it, He ought to know what it is. He's also written it down for us in His Word very clearly. It's actually clear as crystal. It's not hard to understand. It's hard for some to accept, but it's not hard to understand. It's clear as crystal. So let's see what we can learn about baptism by opening up the Scriptures. How important is baptism, do you think? Do you remember how important it is? Well, John 3, I start there. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, or born anew, or born from above," can be translated any of those ways, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, what's Jesus talking about there? Unless one is born of water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus is asking, how do I get born again? If I gotta get born again to go to heaven, how do I get that? He says you gotta be born of water and the Spirit. Now let me ask you, what is this referring to? Baptism. I mean, what other water is there for us to be referring to here? He's not talking about brushing your teeth. Obviously, this is the only water that Christians ever use in a spiritual way. It's baptism. And what does he say here about it? How important. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, we have a lot of talk these days in politics about immigration. I'm not getting into that, but I'm telling you, in heaven, there's no illegal immigration. There's one door, one big door, one beautiful door, but there's one door and it's narrow. It's Jesus Christ. And you got to enter into heaven by a passport. You can't slip in another way. You've got to enter legally. And Jesus says, you got to be born of water and the Spirit, which is referring to baptism. How important is it? I would say very important. Now, why is that important for us? Does God actually do anything for you in these waters by his Spirit? Let's open up to another passage of Scripture. There we are, that famous Pentecost. Peter's preaching to them, and think if I ended a sermon like this. Peter ends it, more or less, saying, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." How would you feel? Well, they felt pricked in the heart. They were cut to the heart, it says. When they heard it, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And here's Peter's answer. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, what does Peter tell us about baptism? What happens to you in baptism? Be baptized for the
Holy Spirit.
Forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So is there a forgiveness of sins that occurs in baptism according to that verse?
Yes.
I mean, if you just go by the Scriptures, that's what it says. I heard a preacher once on the radio, a very famous guy, came across this verse, and it didn't match his theology. So he spent a long time to try to twist it around, make it fit his theology. And I was listening very intently, and I heard him ultimately teach and come to this conclusion. He said, well, what Peter's really saying here is it's not for the forgiveness of your sins, because there's no forgiveness of sins in baptism. Can't wash you. So really, what he's saying here is, you Jews, you've already believed in Christ. You're already saved. Therefore, repent and be baptized. Go public with your faith. And I was like, huh? Dude, wait, you're already saved and then you repent? That doesn't make any sense. But he had to do it because it didn't match his theology. Now, I think that's a good word for us all here to be careful of. If we ever come across anything in our own theology that goes against Scripture, which one goes into the wastebasket? Our theology, and we go with what the Scripture says. And the safest thing to do in life is to just repeat the words of Scripture verbatim and say, "I believe." And so what do we want to say here? Be baptized to a guilty person in his sins. Repent. In other words, turn to Christ by faith and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So there is a forgiveness of sins. That's a super encouragement for you today. Are you worried about your sins? You've been baptized. This is a promise, a covenant God makes with you. And as if Peter's not enough, let's look at Paul and how he describes his conversion. Acts 22, he says, "One Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And in that very hour, I received my sight." And he goes on and says, "The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the just one, to hear a voice from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to all men of what you've seen and heard." Verse 16, listen carefully. "Ananias said to Paul, 'And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" So what do we learn there? Is there a forgiveness of sins referred to in baptism? Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. If you just go by the scripture verbatim, that's what it's saying. That there is a washing of your sins in baptism. But note, not apart from faith. Because it says here, calling on his name. Calling on Jesus' name. That's faith in Jesus. You're justified by faith in him. But there's this wonderful promise in the waters. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins. Martin Luther, after whom we take our name, said, "Apart from faith, baptism is of no use. Just by allowing the water to be poured over you, you do not receive or retain baptism in such a manner that it does you any good, but it becomes beneficial to you if you accept it as God's command and ordinance, so that baptized in God's name, you may receive in the water the promised salvation." Oh, there's that word. Did you hear it? Salvation, he said. Really? Is there a saving work of God going on in baptism? You know, again, I was listening to the radio. Maybe I listened to the radio too much. I don't know. But there was this evangelist I heard on there one time, and he was very adamant. He said, "No one has ever, in the Bible, ever been saved by water." He was railing against it, saying baptism doesn't save. There's no saving work in it. And I was like, huh? Again, I was like, dude, I don't always say dude, but I said dude, something like that. I'm like, I'm talking to the radio, and I'm like, you read the same Bible as I do? No one ever saved through water in the Bible? How about 2 Kings 5? Remember Naaman the Syrian? He had leprosy, and he was told by the prophet to go down to the Jordan River, and on the seventh dip, he comes up, and he's totally cleansed and saved from the deadly disease. I thought of Jonah. Jonah was saved through water 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish. The Old Testament priests, here's a great one. If you're a priest in the Old Testament and you want to approach the holy place, listen to what God says in Exodus 30. You know, you have the laver of bronze with the water in it. He says, "You shall put water in it. That Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet when they go into the tent of meeting." That's where God is, by the way. "And when they come near the altar to minister, to burn offering by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die." I mean, if you are a priest and you try to approach God's presence and you do not wash with water, he kills you. I'd say they were saved by water. You could also look at Israel. They passed through the Red Sea. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 even uses the word they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, saved through water. And what's the biggest event of all?
Noah.
Worldwide event. The whole world was deluged, was covered in a flood. And Peter picks up on that over here. Peter, he says this, 1 Peter 3, verse 20. It says, "God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water." There's those words. Next verse, he says, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body," in other words, not just like taking a bath, "but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven," etc. So what does Peter say about Noah and the great flood? He was saved through water, And he says, baptism, that whole event, the worldwide flood, was foreshadowing what you guys get, being saved through water. And he even says these words, baptism now saves you. That's a big problem for a lot of people to accept, but that's just what the scripture says. It's verbatim. Safest thing to do, what is it? Repeat the words back and just say, I believe. So what do we say? Peter, you say, baptism now saves you. What do we say? Baptism now saves you. I believe. Amen. Done. We don't have to go much further than that. Just repeat what God says in his word. And we ought to really say, God, you're the best. Because you've so graciously, kindly saved me. A lost and condemned castaway on the waters. You brought me in to be one of your own. That's just so beautiful. God promised in the Old Testament days, I'll sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, Ezekiel 36 says. And from all your idols I'll cleanse you, says God. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put inside you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's a beautiful word pointing forward to encouragement for us. I've been baptized. Praise God. I can go forward. We're even reborn in those waters. Rebirth? Born again? Well, what did Jesus say? You got to be born of water and the Spirit. Who's doing the birthing there? The Spirit in and by the water, through the water, is birthing us. Some might say, though, no. That's speaking against faith, though, because it's faith alone that saves us. And baptism is a work, and works can't save. Therefore, baptism can't save. You ever heard that event, that argument? I sure have. And Luther heard the same thing. Luther answers it like this. Yeah, sure, it's not by our works, but through faith. But what is baptism? Is it our work, or is it God's work? We're always saved by God's works. Let's take a look, just for a moment together here, at another passage, and let's see if baptism is our work, primarily, or God's work. I'm going to turn to Titus chapter 3. You with me? Titus 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, says Paul. Disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. Boy, we must have been fun to have over to a party. Horrible! But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, and let's hear how, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. So that, through Jesus Christ our Savior, he poured out upon us richly, that we might be justified by his grace, become heirs in hope of eternal life, the saying is sure. So, who does the baptism in this case? You're saved by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Who does the washing? The word for washing there, lutron in the Greek, means bath, or it just means bath or washing, active bathing. When else do you as Christians bathe? I'm not saying like you shouldn't bathe, okay? I'm saying, but when do you do a spiritual bath? It's got to be baptism he's talking about. And it's a bath of pollen genesia in the Greek. Pollen meaning, again, genesia meaning genesis or birth. The bath of rebirth in the Holy Spirit. What is that? Baptism. And who's doing it? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not principally your work. It's his. Can I go to one more of those? Let's take a look at Ephesians 5. How did Christ save us? Christ, the husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish, crystal, perfectly pure and clear. How did he do it? By the washing of water with the word. Who did it? Christ loved his bride. He did the washing. So the Holy Spirit does the washing, Jesus does the washing, God does the washing. He's acting on you in a beautifully gracious and loving way. And what does it say here? By the washing of water with the word. A lot of people will say, no. Water can't save anybody. It's just plain water. You know what we would say as Lutherans? You're right. Water can't save anybody. Water by itself can't do anything. But the word of God in the water can do it, because the word of God always saves us. And what does it say in this verse? Jesus saved his church by the washing of water with the word. And it's the word of God that created the world. It's the word of God that Jesus is. It's the word that saves you. The word is the gospel, the imperishable seed. It's the word in the water to which we're looking, namely a promise. That's what we're looking to that saves us. Is there a promise in baptism? Repent and be baptized, said Peter, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the Holy Spirit for the promise, verse 39. For the, say promise.
Promise.
Is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Are you having a rough week, friends? You having a difficult life, maybe? Do you have a promise that you can take through those struggles and make you courageous and strong to go forward? There's a promise here. God's given you a covenant in these waters. He wants you courageous. Remember your baptism, what God's done for you. He says in Romans 6, don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. A new life God gives you by baptism. We're baptized and united with Christ, and it is not only help for today, but it is hope for tomorrow. Because the next verse there, verse 5, says, for if we've been united with him in a death like his, through baptism, that is, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Not only for this life, but on the last day, raised eternal for the world to come. In baptism, God says, I put Christ on you. Paul says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Putting him on? Ooh, watch out, devil. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You better step back. There's a baptized Son of God standing in the way. Give way before me. And God says, I give you my own spirit. Like Michael said a moment ago there from Acts 2. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, says Peter. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Strength, power, counsel, might, wisdom, and guarantee, sealing you and me for the day of redemption, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. These are the things that God does for us in baptism. And note again, it's not apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Faith receives the promises. God, through baptism, Luther says, works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, gives eternal life to all who believe, as the words and promises of God declare. So, not saved by our works, but through faith in Christ. But baptism, friends, it's God's work, and we got to remember that and bring it back to mind today, that you can take strong courage and have joy in your relationship with God. You have a covenant that God does not break. He doesn't go back on his words or retrieve his promises. But he calls them to mind. And God has loved you already, sent Jesus to be our Savior, preached to you the good news. You believed and been justified through the gospel in Jesus Christ. He baptizes you. He washes of your sins. He gives you the Spirit. He promises you the kingdom. Therefore, take courage today and strong confidence and joy in God on account of his great works to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Do You Know What God Does For Us in Baptism? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.